In 1 Kings chapter 18, I draw your attention tonight to the verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. The fire of the Lord fell. Elijah has chosen fire as the test. He has selected this to be the fitting sign of the true God, the God that answers by fire is God. It might not seem at first as a logical choice. Wisdom might perhaps say, choose rain. After all, it has been a famine for years. The God that answers by rain, let him be God. But Elijah doesn't choose rain as the test, as the sign. No, God reveals himself by the fire. The rain will come later. At the end of the chapter, the fire must come first. Judgment comes before blessing. Before we can know God as a God of grace, we must first realize he is a God who is a consuming fire. We must first know the terrors of law before we can know the showers of gospel blessing. Before the blessed melting scenes of Mount Calvary, there must first of all be the fiery lightnings of Mount Sinai. The fire before the showers, the judgment before the blessing. The fire also was a fitting choice because it would have suited the Baalites. After all, Baal was considered in some senses to be the fire god. He's the god of the storm. He's the god who sends the thunder. He's the God who holds in his hand the lightning bolt. And it should have been no problem for Baal to set the altar on fire with one of his imagined lightning bolts. And so it was fitting for the Baalites that he might show his supposed strength. So the challenge was in the area of Baal's supposed power. Let the contest begin then. Let it be known who is the true God and which one is truly a consuming fire. And after praying all day, we needn't go through the text again, we read it, but after praying all day, the Baalites had no response from Baal. There was nothing. Elijah prays. He draws near to the altar and he just prays a short prayer. And thus our text. The fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt offering. It worked its way down the burnt offering first, then the wood, then the very stones and pits on which the wood was placed, the very dust around the stone, and then the water was all licked up in the trench. No fire was put under it at the order of Elijah. No fire commenced under it. The fire commenced from above and it worked its whole way down. It was a spectacular display of the fire of God. And he revealed himself in that fire and the crowd knew it. Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. So the fire was a sign revealing the true God. And we want to consider this sign tonight. this sign from heaven, the fire of the Lord, what is it a sign of? Well, this fire of the Lord that fell is first of all a sign that God was present. He was there. It was proof that he was living, existent, hearing Elijah's prayer, standing ready to answer it and to manifest himself. It was proof that he was watching all these proceedings. It was proof that he heard the intercession of his servant and he let his presence to be known, that it was real, that he was there. The fire manifested the presence. You see, Baal could not do that. For in actual fact, he wasn't present. He is non-existent. Elijah mocked him. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe he's away. He could be in the bathroom. He's not present. That's the thing. He's not here at this particular time, but I tell you this, God is. God is present. And the fire is the indication of his presence. Where God is, his fire is. Do you remember how the angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush? The prophet Moses knew God was present because the fire was present. Whenever the Lord come down in the bush, it was the fire that manifested the presence. You remember how on Sinai, the mountain itself was on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. No presence of God without a fire. The fire is the indication and sign that he is near, that he's present. Its absence with regard to Baal shows he's not present and in fact does not exist. Do you remember how that whenever the Lord led the children of Israel, what was the sign that he's among them, leading them? He was a fiery pillar. The fire was present. And he didn't take away that pillar of fire by night. What does the psalmist say? Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. So again, the fire goes before him. Where he goes, that fire is in front of him. It consumes his enemies. The fire is the indication of his presence. And I tell you, the ungodly will learn that at the last day. The fire will be the indication of his near approach and his majesty. Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. Psalm 50, verse 3, our God shall come. A fire shall devour before him. It shall be very tempestuous round about him. The fire is the indication of his presence. And so the message is clear to the people. Here's a fire. God has come down. God is here. And the people sensed it. And they fell on their faces as they never did before because they knew the God of fire was near. He was a consuming fire and they were afraid. They were afraid. The fire put the fear of God in them. He showed thee, Moses said to the people in the wilderness. He said, reminding them, he showed you his great fire. He showed you it. I, the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire That's what I am. I'm fire, and I'll be under the church when I'm present with her. I'll be surrounding her with my presence, and it'll be a wall of fire. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Our enemies don't know that. The enemies of the gospel and the truth don't know that. But the God who's present with us surrounds us with his fire. And so it is, of course, a symbol that should teach us to reverence and fear God. It is a symbol that causes us not to misbehave in his presence. I mean, if we know that God is present in our meetings and fire is the indication of his presence, we shouldn't misbehave. We should be reverent. And that's why God's worship should have a reverence about it in the presence of God, because he's a consuming fire. This knowledge of this fire should drive away any foolish antics, should make us sober, and so may the knowledge that our God is present always make us sober in our worship and in our lives. The Jews were certainly sober that day, I can tell you. So it was a sign of his presence. But then secondly, it was a sign that he was powerful. Powerful. Ordinary fire itself is powerful, consumes. But this was no ordinary fire. This was a fire that had never the like of been seen before. This was a fire that came from heaven itself. It was out of this world. It was extraordinary. Ordinary fire ascends. Ordinary fire works its way up. But this works its way down. Down to the very bottom. Not only does it work its way down, it consumes the very stones. Those pillars of stone, and they weren't tiny little rocks. Those great pillars that were moved in to place to hold up the altar. Even the very stones were consumed by the fire. This was powerful fire. Because God is mighty. He's a consuming fire. He burns up all his enemies. And that instantly, and the water was just licked up as if some great beast had come and had just disappeared. That's the power of God. And this people saw the power of God. It was demonstrated that day to them. He showed thee his great fire, his powerful fire, his mighty fire that just consumes and burns up. The fire that destroyed the cities of the plain in the Dead Sea region, so that to this day not a trace of them can be found. All of those rich and luxurious towns which must be filled with so many archaeological artifacts, but they can't be found because the fire of the Lord that fell that day consumed them all up. God uses fire then as a symbol to encourage his people about his power. That's why I quoted that verse. I'll be a wall of fire round about him. I'll be powerful to protect the church. I'll be powerful to protect my people. And anybody who makes approach onto them will have to go through me first of all. And what am I? I'm a powerful fire. God uses it as a symbol then to encourage us of his omnipotence. That's why Elijah doesn't tremble before Ahab. That's why he can come and stand in the presence of this man and not be afraid of him, even though he's killed so many other prophets. Because he doesn't really stand in the presence of Ahab. In fact, he's all the time saying, I stand in the presence of God. And the man who stands in the presence of God and has confidence of the power of God will not be afraid of a mere mortal who is contrary to that God. So it encourages us, the power of God. It's also a symbol of purity. God is pure. The area occupied by fire is the purest piece of space in the universe. It burns up all defilement. It burns up all disease, all bacteria, all virus, all vice, all dross, all sin. God is like a refiner's fire, not only purifying his people, but himself infinitely pure. He's pure fire, without dross, without contamination, infinitely pure. He is holy. You remember how the vision of Christ we looked at in the book of the Revelation, there was so much about that vision of our Lord Jesus Christ that was identified with fire. You remember his eyes were like flames of fire. Pure eyes, holy eyes, sin-discerning eyes, holy and pure, as well as piercing into the heart. And then his feet, even though he walked in a sinful world, even though he was incarnate and moved among sinners, his feet are as if they burned in a furnace of fire. Holy, pure, uncontaminated, though for 30 plus years they did tread this earth. His feet are pure, for his walk is pure, his life is pure, his heart is pure, and so it's a symbol of the purity of God, as well as the power and presence of God. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, who works in our hearts. Quench not the Spirit, the Bible says. And in that imagery, he is depicted as fire, quenching of fire. And so the Spirit of God is as fire. And the Holy Scriptures are portrayed in the Bible as fire. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, "Is not my word like as a fire?" It's pure. It's like myself. Pure and yet purifying. Where it goes and where it reaches. God's word is fire because it comes from himself, and as he blesses it to us, it purifies us. A sign then that God is pure. And that sign is certainly needed in this generation in Carmel. And so many of these prophets of Baal, and they cut themselves in all their impurity, and there's blood pouring all over the place. And there are other things that the Baalites do, which they couldn't do that day, because they'd be exposed to the people for all that they stand for in the impurity of their cultic rituals and abominable act practices behind the veils and the curtains in the Balaam temples. Impurity, unholiness, sinfulness, and wickedness. But our God sits as a refiner's fire. It was a sign also that this day God was propitious to the people. Something remarkable took place that day. The people drew near to the sacrifice. Elijah says, "Come near unto me." And then he draws near to the altar himself as he calls upon God. So there he stands, and all the people are standing near to him and around him, quite close to the altar. But they stared outside the trench of water. The trench was the line of demarcation. It was the line beyond which no man dare approach. All inside the trench is to be consumed, including the water that is in the trench. All outside is to be spurred. The fire did not fall upon the people. The fire did not descend upon them who for their wickedness were sent to famine for 3 years plus. But the fire fell on the sacrifice. The fire fell upon the altar. The fire falling on the sacrifice is the symbol to the sinner that God has forgiven him and pardoned him and accepts him through the sacrifice. And so you see there's a picture here of propitiation. God is merciful. His anger against sin could have been answered in falling upon the people, but he fell on the sacrifice. This has anciently been accepted among heathen religions even as a true sign of God's favor. When the fire falls upon the sacrifice and accepts it, it's a sign of his favor. It is believed that when Abel and Cain were carrying out their first worship services, the Lord manifested his acceptance of Abel and his sacrifice, and Cain knew that Abel's was accepted and his was not. How did Cain know that? And most of the theologians and commentators will tell you that it must be because somehow God indicated the acceptance of Abel, and the ordinary indication of that is fire. Just took up the offering. It went up in the smoke, in the fire. It was acceptance. And the Baalites are seeking acceptance through Baal. And they want the sign of Baal's favor. Oh, favor us, Baal. We're shedding our blood. We're cutting ourselves to pieces. Oh, favor us. Show us your grace. But there's no answer. But brethren and sisters, we have a God who has answered by fire. Because you know that our Lord Jesus Christ was a sacrifice. And there was thick darkness as God drew near. There was a thick darkness. Darkness, the darkness of the throne of his judgment. And the fire fell. I thirst. The fire fell and consumed the offering. Rather, the offering on this occasion consumed the fire. It was the only time the fire was put out by the offering. The offering, the fire always consumes the offering and burns up the offering. And there must be more offerings and more offerings. And you can never say it's finished. But when Jesus Christ died that day and was our offering upon the cross for our sins, the fire fell. And he consumed the fire and put it out. Because there was never an offering like it. It was the offering of the God-man. And he could say, it is finished. And the veil of the temple was rent in two. No more offering. And he could say, Father, into thy hand I now commit my spirit. It's finished. And brethren and sisters, we can draw near to the cross. As these people drew near to Elijah and were safe and were saved because the fire against our sins fell on our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a sign that he's propitious when that fire falls on a substitute, and our substitute, in whom we believe and in whom we trust, is Jesus Christ our Lord. A sign that God was propitious. It is also a sign that God will purge us. You remember how the apostle said, therefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace
whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He will not suffer sin in us. He will not allow it in his people. He purgeth our iniquities. He chastens us sore at times. He deals with us in a way that burns us, because that's the way sin has to be dealt with. He sits as a refining fire, purifying the precious metal that he wants to come forth as gold, to bring into his heavenly habitation, to set upon the mantelpieces of glory the precious vessels that have been redeemed by the blood of his Son and purged from all their sins. He is purging Israel this day. He's taking them away from the worship of Baal. He's purging them of that. They are discovering the inefficacy of Baalism. And so he deals with sin in his people. He chastens us. That's why there's a famine in the land. He's teaching his people. But not only does he purge his people as a fire, he punishes the ungodly as a fire. The Bible teaches us that whenever sinners are going to be destroyed, very often the symbol of their destruction that is manifested is fire. You remember how Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, how that they put foreign worship into the worship of God. They just brought something into God's worship that they thought they could bring in. That's why we have to be very careful in the worship of God. Man just can't bring in any old thing he likes. Nadab and Abihu said, oh, we've got an idea. We'll bring in this nice new incense. We've some good ideas to make the worship of God a wee bit more acceptable and exciting. They put fire therein on their censers, strange fire, and they offered it unto God. And what happened? There went out fire from the Lord and burned them up. He punished them. He destroyed them. You remember how on another occasion, at the time of the uprising of Dathan and Abiram, you remember how against the 250 men who were standing with them, how that the fire from the Lord came out and consumed the 250 men, burned them all up. You remember how it says there, the place was called Taberah. It even got a new name, Taberah, the place of the burning, where the wicked were burned up. The psalmist sings about it. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. And the Bible tells us he's coming in fiery judgment, burning fire, to consume the wicked, to punish them forever and ever. In fact, the smoke, it's the smoke of their torment that ascends up because they're being burned. You know, some people say God's not in hell. God is in hell. God's everywhere. There's not one piece of space where God can be kept outside of. He's in hell. That's why hell's so horrible to sinners. He's there as a burning fire, burning up the wicked. They were cast into a lake of fire. That's not a normal fire. It's not the kind of fire you're sitting down beside your hearth, because that fire radiates light. This fire's not like that. There's darkness. And yet there's a burning fire. And the burning fire is the presence of a holy God manifesting his justice against sin. And that's why, sinner, you need to be in Christ. Because that's the only safe place where the fire cannot go. Because he has consumed the fire. You need to be in Christ. Do you not know that, sinner? Are you not afraid? Are you not terrified of wrath to come and of the fiery justice of God? You need a Savior. You need Christ. You need to draw near to the sacrifice, the only safe place. So be very sure you're in Jesus Christ and trust in him and believe in him and rest in him. The hiding place, the only hiding place from the wrath